Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 263. Thanks for coming along. It's the first week of October 2018. I'm Ashland Dave, coming at you from the Center of the Universe, Ashland, Virginia, Central Virginia. And yeah, missed the whole month of September. School started, and that's things pick up around in my household quite a bit. And it's difficult to get time to put together and produce a show. However, I'm back with a new episode. I'm going to call this one Running Group Dynamics. I have a major change that has happened in my running group. And I guess I would call it a major change in my life, because running is a big part of my life, and my weekly running group is a big part. And I'll talk all about that and probably ramble a little bit. I got some other topics to hit on too in this episode. But if you're a new listener, I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thank you for downloading the show. Really do appreciate it. I've been putting together this podcast for a while, I guess going back to 2008. 260 plus episodes, kind of hard to believe it's gone on that long. Usually it kind of started off as an every other week podcast, and then it's kind of morphed into a monthly podcast just because of the time, and I tried to put together a decent product. It's amateur. It's an amateur product. Instead of just rushing through and recording and then putting up raw audio, because I like to go back and listen to some of the shows myself sometimes to kind of remember some of the things that I experienced along the way in my journey in ultra running and marathoning and different races of that type, different events. But the biggest change that has happened here lately to me is a member of, I do a weekly running group, four of us, myself, Ashlyn Bryan, Ashlyn Tom, and Ashlyn Bob. And every now and then somebody else will join us, or one of us four will not make it. But I can pretty much say I've been running with this group for several years. I'll talk about the map run that we started, the project we started on here in a little bit. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Ashlyn Bryan. And he's a listener to the podcast, so he'll like this show. So, yeah, Brian, I'm going to talk about you. I've met Brian, I guess, back in 2006 when I signed up and ran the Monument Avenue 10K. That's when I guess you could say I officially got back into running as a hobby, as a kind of my sport. Before that, I had just done little 5Ks here and there, didn't really do too much. And the reason I made the change, I used to play adult soccer when I got out of college. I played in an adult soccer league. And I enjoyed doing that. We had weekly games. It was a social outlet as well. And then what was happening is I was no longer able, because we played on Sundays, and I would be sore for the most part from Sunday through Wednesday all over my body because I didn't do really anything in between. Our soccer team may have had a practice here and there, but usually it was weekend warrior kind of stuff. And I liked it. I was able to keep up, not really much of a problem, but what was happening is as the season went on and I got involved in different things, I wasn't able to safely perform my duties at work when my body was so sore because I, with the nature of my job being a police work, I'd be called upon to have to use physical force or have to physically respond to help. So it was no longer safe for me to do my job being that sore, so I and then coupled with a move, I resigned from the team and didn't play soccer anymore. And I guess a couple of years went by. I would go running here and there when I felt guilty, like I hadn't exercised in a while. I had a bike. I rode my bike around a lot, but nothing regular or anything. Wasn't interested in any kind of competing or anything like that. I never really was. I was a competitive middle school cross country runner. And then then after that, it was all soccer. And anyway, so if I was going to compete at anything, I wanted to play on a soccer team, but I couldn't do that, like I said, because it just wasn't safe anymore. So a couple of years went by, and a friend of mine that I work with named Matt encouraged me to come out and play a pickup game of soccer that he was organizing. And I hadn't played in so long. I still had my studs, so I got those and cleaned them up a little bit. And actually, I still had a soccer ball, and I went out and got my ass handed to me. And I was playing with some people older than me, and that's when I realized I was just completely, completely out of shape. And that was probably around the tail end of 2005. And that also was around the time that a friend of mine named Rob, who lives down in Charlotte, he lives down there now, but he's living in the Richmond area at the time. He trained and ran the Monument Avenue 10K. Keep in mind that Monument Avenue 10K in Richmond, Virginia, is one of the largest in the country. In fact, I think it's the second or third largest behind the Peachtree Road race, which is down in Atlanta. The Monument Avenue 10K, I think, had close to 40,000 participants at one point. I think it's maybe around lower 30,000s now. But that was kind of a big thing to do here. And so my friend Rob trained for it, ran it, showed me these pictures, and I just got to thinking, man, I should do something like that. Because it looked like he just had a whole lot of fun and was talking about it. So I signed up and trained, joined the YMCA training team late that fall, signed up for it, and I guess it started in January, and that's where I met Ashlyn Bryan. Now, I knew who Bryan was because he was a running friend with Ashlyn Tom, and I had known, I guess, Tom from church or something. I'm not really sure. All of a sudden, I just knew, I kind of knew him, I guess because we had kids the same age. And we had moved into... Yeah, we had moved into the town of Ashland, and so we kind of knew some of the same folks. And eventually, Tom started that Ashland Track Club. So the kids were getting to know each other, and I met them. And so it turns out Brian was one of the coaches for the Monument Avenue training team that I joined. And one of the best pieces of advice that he ever gave me during that was don't ever pass water. Whenever there's water out on the course, you should always stop and drink some. I laugh about it now, whenever there's maybe too much water on a 5K course or whatnot. But he always thought that was good advice. And it's kind of funny that he said that way back then, because now that I do such long events, certainly always taking water. So I got to know Brian, and he became a friend over the years. And then we would run together some, and then I remember that we went to and ran the Charlottesville Marathon, the Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where University of Virginia is. It's in the foothills of Blue Ridge Mountains. It's a cool city. We went and ran that together with a lady named Jo, who Brian trained with during the week. And she was up there with some of her friends. I know the three of us drove up there together, ran that, and... kind of started running together pretty much after that. So I would say I've known him for, I guess, going on 12 years or over 12 years, and running partners for close to seven to nine, I guess. And then over the last, I'm going to say maybe 2 to 3 years, pretty much every Saturday. That's, you know, 50-some Saturdays of the year, and that's a lot of mileage together. And he's moved. He moved to Atlanta. So he is not here anymore. He will not be in our running group anymore, except for when he maybe comes back periodically until his wife moves. His wife has stayed here to finish up on a job, and then they're going to be looking for a place down in Atlanta. Then once she moves, that move will be complete, so there won't be any more visits. I think he's going to come back and visit a few times while his wife's still here. So it's really the end of an era for me, you know, being that this podcast is from my perspective. I still have Ashlyn Tom and Ashlyn Bob and enjoy their company quite a bit. But the four of us really became a weekly get-together, guy talk. We all had children the same, close to around the same age, and all of us had girls. Nobody had anything else. It was all four of us had I was the only one that had one child. The rest of them had two girls. And so we had a lot in common. Kids were, three of us had kids in the same grade, the youngest. And then, anyway, we had a lot in common. You know, knew a lot of the same people, saw each other at social events. But we had that Saturday morning run, which was very reliable and was a real good thing for me. I grew a lot through it by meeting up with these guys. Not that the group has gone away, but when you lose a quarter of your group, the dynamic, the running group dynamics is going to change a little bit. And mainly because, you lose that one person who drops those dry wit jokes. Brian, a great sense of humor, kind of not necessarily the kind of jokes you laugh out loud at, but they're funny as, they're funny as shit anyway. Not to mention, he and I would enjoy a lot of soccer games together sometimes on the weekends. Outside of the regular running group, we'd get together and watch some soccer and drink some beer in my garage, which I've kind of outfitted into a man cave. So a lot about Brian is going to be missed. And the Map Run, which is the project that we started, I think, in December of last year, where we run every street in the town, and we only count it if all four of us are there. And we've been highlighting that on a street map that we have, that we obtained from the town manager. That's kind of in limbo now. We might have to, when he comes back to visit, convince him to run more than five so we can get some of get that project finished. So, Brian, you'll be missed. And I appreciate all the time knowing you. We've done some really cool stuff together. I remember I looked up my old podcast, which is episode 192, which you can find at ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you go back and scroll to February of 2014, all the episodes are there. Or just search Ashland Bob, Ashland Dave, Student Becomes the Teacher. That's the name of the episode. You just Google that, and it'll bring up that episode, which is about 40 minutes long, and it's about me and Brian. And what had happened was Brian had taken a hiatus from running for a while as he was focusing a little bit more on his career, doing some more traveling. And that's why he ended up moving, was because it was a huge career opportunity that is kind of a game changer with two kids in college and his lifestyle. And I don't fault him or blame him one bit. Of course, from my own perspective, I wish he wasn't leaving. But Atlanta's not that far. It's a pretty cheap and pretty easy plane ride. And I've told him he needs to put together, get us all down there for a race, and we'll come down and visit him and try to keep that friendship going. It is hard, but I think we've established a pretty decent friendship where I think over the years we'll still be able to visit and stuff from time to time. Anyway, that episode was about Brian's comeback at the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon that we ran in February of 2014, where he had taken a hiatus off. And then we started training again, and we trained for that half marathon, and he struggled a little bit. And then I was able to motivate him and inspire him to finish. And then that's why I produced that episode called "The Student Becomes a Teacher," because I was actually initially, I guess, one of his students, when he was sharing his distance running. And he's an accomplished distance runner. He's got several marathons under his belt. It's not like, and lots of half marathons. It's not like he's just a 10K guy. He's gone the long stuff, and shared a lot with me. And then it kind of flipped when during that race. So Brian will be missed, but not forgotten, and he'll still be in our thoughts when we do our group runs on the weekends. The biggest part I think we're going to miss him is when we would do our breakfast afterwards. All right, Brian, stay in touch. All right, talking about shoes a little bit. I'm in the market for some new shoes, and I run in the size 12 Ultra Olympus model, which is technically a trail shoe, but it's got some of the most cushioning I've ever experienced in a shoe, and I really like them. And what happens with me is that I will wear out the shoes with odor before I wear them out with miles, and I'm at that point now. I had gotten to a point where I would buy two pairs and alternate both back and forth thinking that would help, but it didn't really. So now I've got two pairs of shoes that I got to keep outside or in the garage because they're just awful. And I can still, I guess they got about 330 miles on them, so I can still wear them, but they smell so bad you can't even really put them in a duffel bag and carry them anywhere without putting them in some kind of sealed container so you don't offend everybody. So I've, you know, obviously gone on the internet to try to find that same model, and it's hard to find that size that are in decent colors or any colors at all. The thing that I find the most interesting is that obviously the shoes are going to be the most expensive on the brand names running website. Like, for example, Ultra Running. I think it's ultrarunning.com. I'll look that up while we're here. Like their actual ultrarunning.com, their actual website, I can't find what I want, which I don't really understand that at all. I just don't. For example, I'm looking for trail, so I'm going down to the Olympus. I know these Lone Peak. I've heard decent things about them, but I'm afraid to switch over to something that's not what I want. So okay, I go to Olympus. They're $150 on the website. I'm going to click on it. I'm going to go to my size. Okay, 12 out of stock. All right. I don't understand that at all. This is the actual company's website, and they're out of stock. I really don't get it. They got 12 and a half, all right, in one color, it looks like. I only got the 12 in this. Huh. All right, I stand corrected. Maybe I can actually find something here. But that's the thing. I don't want to spend $150 on them, I guess is what I'm saying, because you can find them cheaper, Zappos or what have you. But I've had a hard time finding the actual size. And so I kind of gave up for a while, and this is gonna be gross. So this morning, I went out to do a 10-miler because I did my long run for the week early because I'm going on a camping trip this weekend. I'm going to a bluegrass festival, and I'm really looking forward to it. That's something that Ashton Brian went with me on. Ashton Tom goes. I haven't gotten Ashton Bob out there yet, so we're gonna miss him this year. This will be the first one he's missed in probably 5 or 6 years, maybe longer than that. I think he started going pretty much after we became friends. So I went out and retrieved my shoes from the garage this morning, and I put them on, and I had to wash my hands after that because my hands acquired the nasty-ass smell of the shoes. I mean, they're terrible. I put them out in the sun to dry, you know, so they dry quicker than they would if they're not. Meaning what I do is I put them outside on the patio and just let the air dry, and as the sun goes across, it dries them. And I've run water through them to try to. They're just terrible. I've tried different things. I used to use those cedar chip feet looking things called something feet or whatever, and that didn't really work that well. And nothing has really seemed to work other than to replace the shoes when they get to a point where you just can't stand them anymore. But what I'm afraid for example, I could buy a new pair, and as I train for the 50 miler and for February, I probably will go through, you know, the whole pair. And it gets expensive. The ultras are expensive, but boy, I tell you, they save my my knees big time. So I'll continue that journey with the shoes. I need to get into that and get that taken care of. All right, speaking of upcoming events, I'm pacing the 2.5 hour Richmond half marathon, which I don't even know the date. Let me look that up. Gosh, I tell you, man, I just can't remember stuff anymore. Let's see, November 4th. All right, well, that's my anniversary, my 23rd anniversary. So I guess it's November 10th. I'm not sure why it says November 4th. Oh, Richmond Marathon in New York City. Let's get squared away here. It's November 10th. Yeah, my anniversary's not on a Saturday. All right, November 10th. So I've got a little over a month to get ready for that. I felt pretty good on the 10 mile this morning. I paced a little quicker than a 2.5 hour pacing. That's actually what I'm purposely running, that slower pace, because that's the pace group I'm going to be leading they were looking for pace people for the slower ones, and I couldn't really pace a 215 comfortably. I would really be working for that, but I can pace a 2.5 hour group where I can talk and chit chat with folks and make it enjoyable for me and them, and not be struggling or be worried about time. So that's what I did today, and I felt pretty good. I'm a little, you know, I need to go sit down and put my feet up for a little bit, just because I got some stuff to do this afternoon. I do want to rest a little bit, but I'm pretty excited about doing that. I've never done that before, I don't think. No, I've tried, but have never done it, and so I'm hoping to meet some interesting people along the way. And again, going back to Ashlyn Bryan, especially if he's listening to this, he's gonna think I'm continually disappointed. He was going to do that with me, and now I'm going to be by myself. I'm trying to talk Ashlyn Bob into doing it, but at this late in the game, signing up for the Richmond Half Marathon is something like $95. I just don't think, I think that's kind of crazy to spend that kind of money on a half marathon. I did the early bird special last year at $60, and then, of course, they're looking for pacing people, and then they say don't register because they'll copy your entry, but I've already paid for it. So what I might do is if that's successful this year, that pace group, and I'm you know, welcomed back, I'll just hold off registering for the Richmond Half, and I'll do the pace group again next year and get a free entry. And I'm not sure what I'll do. And then after that, February 2nd is the Like the Light 50, which I registered for. I think I did that after the last podcast, so that is a definite at this point. 50 miles from Corolla Lighthouse to Bodie Island Lighthouse, circle around that, finish at Jeanette's Pier right there on the ocean, on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, the Atlantic Ocean. Already looking forward to that. And a lady from my church named Tina told me that she has registered for that. And speaking of Tina, as I get longer runs in, I'm going to need people to run with. And Ashlyn Bob doesn't do marathons anymore. He'll do half marathons. And I'm not sure if Ashlyn Tom is going to do the Like the Light 50 or not. I'm just not sure. He had some damage to some property he has down in North Carolina from Hurricane Florence. And so he's been a little out of pocket here lately, so I'm not sure what his plans are for that. I'd like him to do it. I'd like to do it with somebody. But Tina and a couple of people from her ultra group are going to be doing it. And so as a result of that, well, next time I see her, I'm going to see if I can come out and join her group. I think it's a, I don't want to use the term co-ed, mixed gender group. I don't think it's just a ladies group. We'll see. I saw her at the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and she had asked about it. And then one morning I was going out to the car to go to work, and she and her one of her running group people stopped by the house and said she had signed up. So next time I see her, I'm going to see if they would be willing to accept somebody to their some of their longer runs. Just I don't know what kind of pace they run or anything like that, so I'd be a complete newbie. But I think that's something I'm going to need to pursue. If Tom is not going to be doing that longer stuff, because I'm going to need somebody out there for the 20 plus milers. It doesn't really matter who, it needs to be somebody. And then of course the Little Rock Marathon March 3rd with Sandy, which I'm excited about. That'll be her 50th state. She's a regular listener to the show. This will be her 50th state. I think she's getting 47, 48, 49 here over this course of time between now and then. And then she'll culminate with the Little Rock Marathon with the big medal that they give. And she talked me into going down there and celebrating with her and her husband. And so Monica and I are going to go. We got our hotel reservations done. We're just going to be getting flights here soon. And that's pretty exciting because next spring is going to be not only is that going to be exciting, but it's going to be a very exciting time for me too, because I'll be changing occupations. I'm eligible June 1st, and I've made a decision to seek employment and retire by then. I'll have more to say about that in a future show. So then, of course, all this leads me up to the CNO Canal 100. which is on the weekend, I think 27th and 28th of April. Yep. Let's see. It's 27-28-2019. April 27th, 28th, 2019. And that is the 100 miler that I'm going to attempt if everything goes well over the spring. And my listener of the show, Christelle, aka Smiley, she has run that, and she sent me an email, which I'm going to talk about in the email bag section of the show, which is coming up very soon. So, yeah, that's the spring. Those are the upcoming events. I mentioned the training group. And then before I get into the email bag section of the show, I want to talk about Derek Miller. Now, over many, many, many episodes, I play music during the email bag section of the show. And that music was created by a man named Derek Miller, who lived in Vancouver. And he was around the same age as me, and he passed back in 2011. And the reason I liked his music is because back when I was starting the show and looking for different music in the show, I read about podcasting and stuff, and podcasters were just in general with the literature, the stuff I read on the internet, was you're kind of dissuaded from using any kind of copyrighted music. And you do have to be careful about that. Say you like a song and you copy it and you put it in your podcast, you're actually copying something that's copyrighted, and it's not appropriate. So there were websites called PodSafe Music and all this stuff. And somehow I found Derek Miller's music, because on his website, which was penmachine.com, he had free PodSafe Music. And so I was looking through there, and I learned that he had created it on GarageBand for the most part. And so I had GarageBand software on my Mac. And so I thought it was pretty cool, and I picked some stuff that I liked. And all he said on his website was that you could use the music all you wanted, you just had to give him credit. So that's where, and all throughout for several, many, many, many years, I would link to Derek Miller's Pen Machine on the ashlanddave.podbean.com site. Well, I don't know what I was doing a show or so ago, or maybe three shows back, where I clicked on one of the links to the Pen Machine, and his site was no longer there. He passed away in 2011 from complications from stage 4 metastatic colorectal cancer. He knew it was coming. He kept a blog. He actually wrote a blog post on May 4th, 2011, saying, quote, "Here it is. I'm dead. This is my last post to my blog. And in advance, I ask that once my body finally shut down from the punishments of my cancer, then my family and friends publish this prepared message I wrote," et cetera, et cetera, which you can't find anymore. I had to, somebody has captured that information and has it on the internet, but it's through it's a cached on a Mac Mini at Mac Mini Colo. Anyway, I'm not going to link to it anymore because, it's probably not going to be there. However, that's the story behind Derek Miller's Pen Machine. That's why I linked to that music all these years. And I'll continue to have the music in the email bag section of the show, and I'll give him credit. I just won't have the actual link on there for what it's worth. So let's listen to Derek Miller, his music, and let's look at the email bag section of the show. Email bag. I heard from Steve in Orlando. He asked for some recommendations on some ultras. Looks like he's getting back into it. He is thinking about doing the Light to Light 50 in 2020, which is really cool. And he said he's going to sign up for the Piedmont 8-hour for fall of 2019. I think I remember him asking about some ultras for the Mid-Atlantic area that I had done. He's already said he was going to do the Piedmont 8-hour this year. But he already signed up for a Disney run the next weekend with his girlfriend. He says, "I'm not a Disney run kind of guy, but she loves them, so I have to make an occasional concession and run one with her." He says he hates paying so much for the races. The wine and dine half apparently is $200 a person.
Wow.
Then he asked about Strolling Jim, and of course I'd done that one several years ago and had done a podcast on that, so I directed him back to that. I can't remember which episode that was. It's episode number 60, because I did respond to him. He's also doing a map run of St. Cloud, Florida with his running buddy Nick, so that's really cool. Apparently that is south, it's a growing town southwest of Orlando. When I think of St. Cloud, I think of St. Cloud, Minnesota. Is that Minnesota? Anyway, Steve, good to hear from you. As always, I appreciate you checking in, and all the best with those runs. Sounds like you got some good stuff planned there. I heard from Rhonda, who's a local, who said, "Hey, Dave, I listened to your podcast yesterday for the first time. I only recently became aware of it, decided to check it out, even though I'm not really a runner. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The only thing I didn't like was the mention of the possibility of Brian and his wife moving, and then me and Monica moving, which Monica and I won't move for a while, but Brian is moving." She says, "I don't think your friends in the center of the universe can support that." Anyway, Ron is a new listener. She works over at Randolph-Macon College. She is in her immediate group of people that she's friends with, like her close group of friends, do these like event or obstacle races. And Ron is great. We actually know each other. I know her through my wife. Anyway, I'm glad to have you along as a listener, Ron. I hope you listen to more shows. Great to hear from you again. Heard from Keith, and I was actually commenting on him. His podcast, which is 210.47.com. I don't know if I really need to mention this in the podcast, but he had interviewed a guy who was kind of slamming road running and road racing because he's really into the trails and talking about how trail runners were deeper thinkers and stuff. And I had to send Keith an email and say, you know, there's a lot more going on when you're running on the road than what some people think. And I just mentioned a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm trying to get Keith in for another interview. He ran the Georgia Jewel, which is a 35-mile ultra that he signed up for. He was a DNF, unfortunately. And so he and I are emailing back and forth now that we're going to kind of interview each other about some things, and I think we're both going to use the material for the podcast. Good to hear from you, Keith. I'm not sure if you're still a listener or not. I can't remember. Heard from Keith out of Texas, I think. He emails in from time to time. We talked about those tremors with the tremors problem. Appreciate the advice. I need to look into that again. I haven't got the trimmer out in a while. Heard from Ken. Ken's out of he's doing the Chicago Marathon October 7th. Said he loved the recent episode. I can't remember where he's out of. I think he might be out of Illinois. He actually watched the video where we came in on the Patrick Henry half. He signed up to pace the Carlsbad Marathon for the 4-hour finish group. And he's going to be running Chicago on October 7th. So keep up the good work. I'm helping motivate you. I appreciate that, Ken. Getting emails like yours is always means a lot. I really do appreciate that. Sometimes, like this morning, I was out doing my 10-miler. And sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. But there's so many like-minded people that are around doing the same thing and trying to achieve those distance goals for whatever reason. You know, whatever parallels in their life that, so it sounds like I'm a lot like you, and I appreciate you sending in the email, really do. Heard from Alex, who I hadn't heard from in a long time. I hadn't heard from him in about a year. He went through some personal issues that stopped running, lost touch with his friends. He was the one that promoted the West End Ultra Runners Guild, which is out of Arizona, Goodyear, Arizona. He's gotten back to listening to the show, gotten back to running. His second solid month said it feels really good. Alex, glad to have you back, man. Stay in touch. Really was good to hear from you. And maybe I'll get out there to see you one of these days now that I know somebody in Arizona. I really appreciate that. Of course, I heard from Thomas Muller, a regular listener to the show. He appreciated the shout-outs. He said he's wondering if he's going to make it back to running ultras or not. He says it's been hard putting he's not back into the running miles. He's walking and cycling. This is the advice that he said he wanted to give the listeners. Don't ever stop running. He said, adapt in any way you can, but keep that running momentum. He said he quit for a bit and he never really got it back, and taking time off is really never the answer. He just gets deep fatigue from running, but cycling's good for him. And sounds like he didn't suffer any damage from any of the rains that went through. He teaches down at Appalachian State. From what I'm told. So good to hear from you, Thomas. Appreciate the email. I heard from Dr. Smitty. Dr. Smitty and I correspond about every month or so, every other month. It was good to hear from him. He did not make it up for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon this time. He said that he's going to do, wondering if I was still going to do the 100-miler. Looks like it's the same weekend that he does the Virginia 24-hour run for cancer down in the Chesapeake area. He's the big ugly. His running group is called called BURP, Big Ugly Running Posse. And he's putting a big ugly team together to see what they can do. Speaking of big ugly, I got that soccer team I was talking about earlier in the podcast. We were sponsored by a brewery in Richmond. This was back before this all craft beer phase has taken off, that's become trendy. There was a brewery called Rich Brow, Rich for being Richmond, Rich Brow, B-R-A-U. And I guess you could call it one of Virginia's first craft breweries, I don't know. But it was special. You go down there. This was back when the laws in Virginia required if you sold beer, you had to sell a certain amount of percentage of food to go along with it. And that's what just killed any kind of, beer places. That's why Virginia doesn't have just a bar where you just go in and get alcohol. You just sit at a bar, you have to have food. Anyway, now that's changed a little bit. Now they have these things called tasting rooms. Anyway, that's beside the point. But one of the beers that they had was called Big Nasty. And that was actually the name of our team, was Big Nasty. So anyway, Greg's team is called Big Ugly. He wants to try for 100 miles there. He'll have to see how the training goes through. Looks like his girlfriend's doing the Marine Corps Marathon. He's not going to be doing that. He'll just be a cheerleader. He's got some other things going on in his life that have just kind of been difficult to get out there and doing running. Anyway, Greg, always good to hear from you. I really do appreciate the emails. It's always nice when you sit down and you have the time to write. It's nice to hear what's going on with you. Heard from Tim. Talked about retirement. Apparently, his uncle founded SCAN, which is Stop Child Abuse Now, which is there's a chapter in Richmond. And I just thought that was pretty cool. I didn't realize, I mean, it's a small world. And I was telling him about that, and I was telling him maybe I'd be a professional runner in my retirement. And he joked about, if you can find a middle of the pack pro runner gig, let me know, because he said he'd join me. And that's the problem with being a professional runner, is you have to be fast. Heard from down. Oh, thanks, Tim, for the email. Always good to hear from you. Heard from my friend Down Under, Dave. And Dave, I apologize for not responding to your email yet. It was just realized I had not responded to it. He is registered for the. He lives in Tasmania, which is down near Australia. He's registered for the Launceston Marathon, which is in northern Tasmania. That's spelled L-A-U-N-C-E-S-T-O-N. Looks like it's a dreadful course, four times out and back. By the time, actually, he's already finished this by the time I'm reading this. He said there's not a cutoff time, which means he can walk fast and have a bit of fun seeing the other runners fly past. Due to his health, he cannot run as much anymore. He didn't plan to do any organized events, but rather thought it'd be better to fastback some trails around Australia, stopping at the pub, so it would be under pressure, could just get a sense of satisfaction for having completed something challenging. He says now that spring is down there, he's going to go plant some seeds in his veggie garden. See, that's weird to think because we're just getting ready to get into fall here and wintertime. Say hi to your wife and daughter. We did a FaceTime visit with Dave one time, and he got to meet my whole family, and it was really cool. And it's always good to hear from. Thanks, Dave. I'm going to respond to your email. I just hadn't done it yet. Sorry about that. And I'm saving Christelle's for last because I had mentioned her earlier in the show. I have met Christelle at several races. I'm going to start calling her Smiley because that's her trail name. She says she still listens to every episode, although she missed the 200th as well as the 100th. I first met her at the Dahlgren 50K. I think it was that back in 2016. And then before that at the Patrick Henry Half at another race. And actually, she's the one time she turned, I saw her at Patrick Henry Half Marathon. She turned around and said, do you happen to be Ashlyn Dave? She recognized me by my voice. I thought that was pretty weird or pretty cool. And then I ran into her at the Dahlgren 50K, Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K, which she says was 2016. I remember we ran together for a while there. Real sweet lady. She did a Richmond Full a few times. I did not see her there. But then again, she was at... Gosh, did I see her at the Patrick Henry Half the other day? I can't remember. She finished her 50 states back in January. She's done 150 full marathons. And she's done the CNO Canal 100. And so a lot of her email was giving advice about that, and we exchanged some emails back and forth. And one thing in her email is that she really wanted me to, she wants me to pass on her best wishes to Down Under Dave. She says that she hopes he can go back to running or find another way of fulfilling his passion of running endurance events, whatever works best for him. So that was really, really sweet. And she's provided so much great information about the CNO 100. Let me just grab an excerpt here. .. 98 or 99 miles are nice, smooth path gravel, not a technical trail. It's also flat except the little trail section, which I found brutal on tired legs. Just the fact that she remembers what the path looked like at miles 98, 99 is pretty impressive. Apparently, it's a generous cutoff time, which is one of the main reasons I liked it. And it's not that far from home in case I run into some kind of trouble where I don't want a long travel right home. She also noticed a lot of the wildflowers and this and that, so she obviously was running with her head up. And she thought it's a great way, great 100 to start. So, Christelle, thanks for the email. I'm keeping your email in the hopper because I'm going to keep reviewing it as I get closer to that race, and we'll have some more questions from you. And I really do appreciate it. One other thing that she says about, she was talking about the podcast. She says, please don't ever stop as you'll be missed. It seems like a lot of great podcasts are gone. So like Gordon Harvey's This Running Life is gone. Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe is gone. And she mentioned another one, and I appreciate you saying that, Smiley. I still get about 200 listeners a show. I don't advertise the show anywhere. It's just if somebody finds it, they find it. And you know, with the emails that I get, it's really enough for me to keep up with. So thank you for listening, and thanks for reaching out to me. And I'll be in touch in reference to some other questions about the CNO Canal 100. All right, that is the podcast for this time. I appreciate you listening if you made it this far. I'm Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And one of these days, I'll explain what all that means. Y'all have a good week.